This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel. Their website is gotoneverland.com. You need to visit that website and use that URL. Don't Google it. Don't do anything like that. Gotoneverland.com, because that tells them you heard about it right here on WDW Today. They're a great travel provider, great travel agent, if you will. They have magic makers ready to make your vacation amazing. To check them out, go to their story. They're also looking for magic makers. They're looking for agents, essentially, all the time. So make sure to go to their website. For that, you can go to their story and then click Become a Magic Maker. And you can go from there and get the information that maybe you will become the next great magic maker.
But they've got a great service if you're just looking for the travel side.
Yeah, they do. And they'll plan out everything you need. Itineraries, whatever they can handle, dining reservations. They'll do their best to make sure you have not just a good vacation, but have a great vacation customized and concierge-ized for your vacation. What, Will?
It's so concierge-ized that all you got to do is pack.
That's right. All you got to do is pack. Go to Neverland.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, May 25th, and this is episode 1513 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
In 1513, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. This is Will Haynes.
And this is Terry Weaver.
What's that from?
The Battle of New Orleans is the name of the song.
Off Kilter does that? I feel like they probably should.
I don't think so. That's more like American Americana. Yeah, that's then.
Someone tweeted this, just made me think of this, because you know they're like, and a bear called Tennessee or something like that. In country. They're like, oh, they're my favorite bears from Tennessee.
We are?
Take that as you will.
All right.
I like it.
I've always loved being called a bear from Tennessee.
Me too. Have you seen our pictures? Because we have the country bear picture, you know.
Moving on.
Well, this episode, we're going to talk about the best queues, our favorite queues, the ones not to fast pass at Walt Disney World. But we do want to give you an update quickly up front. And we're just going to be completely honest and clear with you guys what's happening. So we know we've been talking about WDW Today weekend happening this year. Now, here's what I want to first clarify. De Las Puertas Magic Media Music Festival is happening 100%. It is happening. Tickets are on sale now. And we are going to make that the best night of your life. If you're a Disney fan, we are focusing like a laser beam to make that literally the most fun you're going to have with so many great things. We're going to have an announcement here at the end of this little bit to bring you up in the ante. We're going to be up in the ante even more. One of the things we want to talk about, though, is that whole idea of WDW Today weekend, events that we're going to do out throughout the weekend. The interest level in that has been pretty low, and we're not going to sugarcoat that and say, you know, come up with some excuse for it. It's just, look, you guys are new to us. This is only 6 months us on the job, 5 months on the job, really, and you may need more time to get considered. Maybe a bad time of day. Maybe a bad time to book. There are a lot of different reasons why. And, you know, the response hasn't been what we've wanted for WDW Today weekend. Now, the opposite has happened for De Las Puertas.
Right.
So that puts us in an interesting point of view. So here's what we're going to do. If you go to dlpfest.com, you'll notice all the information is updated with lots of new stuff, even new things like, hey, we're going to have a full bar. We're going to have a new band added to the lineup. We'll announce that here in a second. But we've taken down the weekend stuff. And the reason we've taken that down to travel packages, just like I said, the demand isn't necessarily there just yet for us to do a full-blown weekend with you guys. We hope to one day, and we hope that you guys are going to come out and hang out with us. We're willing to work on that for a future date. But what we're going to do now is focus, like I said, like a laser beam on making De Las Puertas the time of your life. And I mean that with all honesty. We are going to up the ante, spend all our time and energy in making that one night an incredible experience. As a Walt Disney World fan, we're also reaching out to former and current cast members. It's a bit of a reunion. And we're just going to make it a lot of fun, and we know you guys are going to enjoy it. So that's sort of the short of it, is the weekend stuff we're going to do away with. Not going to do it this year, but we will be doing De Las Puertas in Claremont on September 30th. And tickets are on sale now at dlpfest.com.
And I think it's time to announce that new band going to be playing at DLP Fest.
Yeah.
So I want to call your attention back to the little jingle I sang. This is a quiz, trivia question. In the Battle of New Orleans, who were we fighting?
The British.
So The British are coming, y'all.
That's right. We said that before. The British are coming to De Las Puertas Fest. Put out that tease last week. So what that means is the British Invasion from Epcot. They played there. The first band like that to have a residency at Walt Disney World. The British Invasion, a Beatles tribute act, is going to be playing with Off Kilter, playing with American Martian, formerly Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. Return to Zero, formerly Four for a Dollar. Guitar Dan, The Dreamfinder, Us. Tons of media appearances. I should get that list and pull up everyone that's going to be there and tell you guys, and I will once these guys commentate. But we've added the British Invasion to that list. So that means we've got just an incredible lineup of music and media. And that's not all. We're still planning out some amazing things, maybe some costume contests with some cool prizes. There may be some extra elements you guys are going to want to be a part of to make this night the night of your life. And that's really our goal is, you know, we kind of tease it as it's the Bonnaroo of for Disney fans. Well, let's, you know, make that even more so. Let's just make it a good mix of almost a Comic-Con and a party and a great music festival all in one.
I'm super excited about British Invasion because I ended up always being at the United Kingdom Pavilion when they were playing. I was always there for some reason. Like when they started their set and I'm like, I'm here, I'm going to listen because I love the Beatles.
Yeah, so you
I'm your favorite Beatle.
Grab a cold one. Sit up there.
Go to the pub, do a flight of old Macallan, go back out.
Real quick.
Real quick, dance to the Beatles.
Yeah, I find myself often in the courtyard where they used to play Missing the British Invasion.
Yeah.
So
that little gazebo.
Yeah, we've been working on this for a while, and there was a period where I wasn't sure if it was going to work out. I was kind of sad that the invasion wasn't coming. But when we figured out all the details to get the guys there, I'm excited. I have lots of happy Epcot memories of just hanging out, singing along with those guys.
Yeah, just having a blast. They're great. They're great. They're a lot of fun. And they just add, again, to the extra elements we're adding. Now, that's probably going to do it for music at De Las Puertas, because, look, that's going to end up being a long night already.
Yeah.
But we are going to be adding extra media elements, extra interactive elements, things you can do. And there's stuff that we can't even tell you. There's going to be some big surprises that we can't even promote because a whole host of reasons.
Some of those surprises, I think, people may freak out more about than some of the bands that we have.
I would agree. So make sure you check out the website, De Las Puertas. It is dlpfest.com. And here's the lineup. I'm just going to run through it real quick. And this isn't an ad. This is just to tell you, look, we are really dedicated to making this amazing. And look, if we come close to a sellout this year, the venue has already said they're really interested in us bringing it back a year or two. So if you're interested, buy your tickets now. So we got Off Kilter, American Martian, formerly Mulch, Sweat, and Shears, The British Invasion. We're going to be recording a podcast all night long as the host. We got Return to Zero, who was Four for a Dollar. You may remember them as essentially the opening act of the Beauty and the Beast show at Hollywood Studios. We got Ron Schneider, who was the Dreamfinder. Dean Daniels, who is Guitar Dan from the Animal Kingdom. He's going to be performing in the lobby from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock pre-show, where you can meet and greet a lot of media appearances, including Drunk at Disney from Twitter, Disney Lifestylers, that's Corinne, you know her, the Character Queen, the Big Fat Panda, our friends over at 365 at Disney, Samantha Haar, you may know her if you're local, from Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan, Michelle Atwood from the Main Street Mouse, and recently added Bart Scott of Ears of Steel. He'll be there as well. Come hang out. Let's have a fun time and party it up.
I am so confident that this is going to be, one, a stellar event that people are going to want to come back to, but two, that we are going to pack the place and that we're going to want to do it again. I would almost go so far as to call this the first annual DLP Fest.
I hope so, guys. And look, it's up to you guys to help us sell tickets. And look, we know it's months out. September 30th is a while from now from everyone, but it really helps if we can get this thing sold out, or at least closer to sold out early on, because it just helps the confidence level of the venue, helps us do things like create special merch and those kind of things that may, and even special, more special experiences. All right, well, I think that clears it up for everybody. Let's move on to our main topic of the day. So this was a topic that was thrown in by Fish Sean Wu, at Fish Sean Wu on Twitter. And Sean sent us an idea. He said, what do we think are the best cues, best lines, if you will, at Walt Disney World? We're going to go around the table and talk about essentially the ones you don't want to fast pass. So, who wants to...
I'll lead off here. I'm going to go to one of my favorite rides. As you guys know, I'm a nostalgic ride rider at Disney World, and specifically Magic Kingdom. So, one of my favorite rides, and has been my entire childhood and life, has been the Peter Pan's Flight ride, Peter Pan. I love the ride itself. I love because it's so cool. It's kind of psychedelic and trippy, and you're in the little boat. But I would have to say, growing up, one of the worst things about it is because the line was so long.
Yeah,
it was always packed, and it was just a carnival queue.
Yeah, what do they call that? Like the there's a word. The Disney people have a word for it.
Turnstiles or
turn something like a turnaround. There's a word. We'll find it later.
Yeah, but
like
it's one of the
paddle basically.
Yeah, it's just a theme park line. There's nothing special to it. You're just waiting, and for sometimes upwards of an hour, just to ride the wonderful ride that is Peter Pan. Now they have redone it. They've poured really some coin into this line, to tell you, to say the least. I love the updates they've done to this queue, and I think it is Disney Imagineering at its finest. It has elements. So essentially, I'll set the stage for you. You know the ride, you kind of start off in the story of Peter Pan in the bedroom of the children when Peter Pan comes and he's looking for a shadow. It's all kind of like pre-story to that. There's a lot of Tinkerbell elements. It's mind-blowing even thinking about this, like how they do it, where Tinkerbell will go around and like little light trails of pixie dust going around, and she's manipulating things, and then your shadow is on the wall, and you can interact with like bells, and you can ring, your shadow rings a bell shadow, and you hear the noise. Like,
right.
And then like Tinkerbell will put a top hat on someone, and it's interactive like with their shadow, and I think maybe even Captain Hook's hat is one time. There's several different iterations depending on when you're standing in line. But it is just, it's beautiful. There's even one room where you clap and you make pixie dust fall down on people. It's like light.
I don't think I've seen that. I've never noticed that.
It's crazy. Like all the different elements that are super interactive. And I mean, honestly, you can spend 30 minutes to an hour in that line and be entertained by these little shows and just the Imagineering and the lighting effects that go into it, it's fabulous. I love it.
We were there when they unveiled that kind of in a soft opening. And I'll be honest, a couple of things. The first time I saw it, I started to cry. And I'm a grown man, and I'll admit that on the podcast.
Okay.
But it was one of those times when I think we underestimate what the Imagineers do, that it just totally transferred you. Like, in my mind, I forgot I was sweating at a theme park. I was in the Darling's bedroom, and we were about to go flying over the streets of London with Tinkerbell.
That's awesome. I've only done it, honestly, I can say maybe once, because I do not want to wait in that line, typically. Even though it's a really awesome line, the ride itself, the payoff to me, it's a great ride. Everyone loves it, but it's just, when I see that 45 minutes, 75 minutes, something like that, I typically tend to avoid it. But maybe I'll give it a second try this next round. I need to take my son. I avoided it for him last time. It's like,
he
look,
would
buddy.
Love the but, interactive element.
Yeah, and he would love the ride. I just haven't wanted to waste it, or if I'm being honest. But it is awesome. It's worth pulling up on YouTube, even watching if you're not planning on going soon, if you haven't done it, or maybe you've even done it more. Because like Will said, I think it's kind of like they've done at the end of the Haunted Mansion, where like different things happen kind of to different people, and it's not necessarily as uniform.
Right.
All right. Mr. T-Weave.
I'm going to go completely unpredictable on this one. I'm going to go still at the Magic Kingdom in the new fantasy line. I'm going to do Under the Sea, The Journey of the Little Mermaid.
All right.
That queue is absolutely fantastic through and through. When you first enter the queue, you're kind of outside and you're sort of walking down, I don't know, sort of the caves, if you will. And you enter the ride, and the ride kind of starts to, the queue gets interactive. You meet Scuttle, our seagull friend. And he starts picking up random things and identifying them. You know, you see him pick up a dinglehopper, and
it's a fork. Yeah. It's really just a fork.
That's a dinglehopper, but
it's it's a fork.
You know, it's a matter of opinion.
I'm just letting you guys. I'm not going to break in on this one. I just feel like let this one ride.
Fork fight.
that fork fights are gruesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember the in a Mystery Men, the man with the forks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I love that one. That's a Hank Azaria at his finest.
You can tell all three of us are on the same wavelength today.
This is the second Mystery Men reference in 5 months. There you go.
So anyways, back to the queue of the Little Mermaid. It's a super fun way to, you know, wait for the ride. And love it. Have you guys gotten to do this?
All I have in my head is people fork fighting right now. It's super violent and like just disturbing.
You remember how I said the Imagineers create magic. I think we're just here undoing magic with our fork. Yeah. I don't know.
Did you cry in The Little Mermaid?
No, I did not.
He did because he got a fork in the eye.
You know, from now on, no, that's going to be the, that's like, instead of two thumbs up, it's Terry Tears.
Great.
Terry Tears.
Yeah, you brought it upon yourself.
So the question is, what's the scale? Because is it one lone tear is better than five tears?
Oh, no. I like still like the elephant thing we had going was much better.
Yeah. The elephants, yeah. Okay, so I'd say I have done that many times, the Little Mermaid ride. And I paid attention to the queue, but maybe not as much as I should have. It does kind of remind me, and so does the Nemo one, of the E.T. line at Universal Studios.
Yeah, I get
which
that.
I love
you
that.
That
that's one of my favorites. You know, kind of dark and cool and nice place to relax in the shade.
Yeah, the Nemo was actually my second.
That was your number two?
My number two was just
fallback failsafe.
When you go through that, because you kind of walk on the boardwalk and you go to the beach and all of a sudden you're under the sea.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like that one. Okay, so mine is a little different. And
is it 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
No, it is not. Because that is no longer available.
I know, but that's how much you loved it. Like, you just want to go stand in line for it.
I cried when they put up the treehouse for Blue Bear.
How many Terry Tears?
Oh, my God.
A lone tear.
A lone Terry Tear. to my, and this is because I just recently did it, and I kind of have two, because this one is not for everyone, and definitely not maybe as much for your kids. I really love the lines to meet Chewie and to meet Kylo Ren at the launch bay.
You almost said DV.
I did, because it was DV, but now it's Kylo Ren, because it's an open line. It's very breathable. Up, like, there's not a lot. There's a lot of headroom. Like, it's just a whole 2-floor building. In the line, you get to see a lot of cool replicas of props. So, and I believe in the Chewie one, you have all of the sort of rebel helmets, mm-hmm. and then you also have all of the lightsabers from Ezra, who's on Star Wars Rebels, which I really love that, because you don't see that ever in real life. He's a cartoon character. So to have his lightsaber, which is really cool with a handle kind of blaster thing, that was really neat. I just liked that you could see all of these cool Star Wars props. And then around you, like I said, it was very open, very airy, obviously air conditioned. You could see BB-8 and Rey's speeder. And you could, your eye was drawn to different things the whole time. And I liked that. I think it's not a interactive queue like these ones that you guys have brought up. But it's one of the ones that's more traditional, but they've added elements. So I think Kylo Ren, you get to see all the iterations of Stormtrooper helmets and Kylo, you know.
It's almost like a museum.
Yeah, it is. And you can read a little bit of blurb about each one. So me and Riker would go through and be like, all right, here's Yoda's lightsaber. You can see it's small. It's cool. Here's Vader. Here's Luke. Here's even up to Rey, I believe. So it was neat to look at all of those options. I really like that one because, again, you could kind of feel the ambiance of the launch bay around you. It's comfortable. And if you want to go interactive, though,
I have something to say about that before you get to your interactive one. You know, that actually is kind of an interesting idea for me that you're bringing that up, because it shows that if they just show you cool things and have little things to read, like, that's enough. You know, I feel a little bit we're so needed to be distracted all the time with entertainment. Like, they have to entertain us in the line, which I love. Like I just said, that it's incredible. It's awesome that they're coming up with it. But I like the idea of just doing something simple that you and your son got to interact.
Yeah, it was,
you know,
cool.
Like, it was a father-son bonding time in line instead of just your son playing with a shadow. You know, I don't know. That's cool. I like that.
I really liked it. And those lines aren't incredibly long, so that helps. You know, they're 30, 40-minute waits typically at the longest. And I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed that whole presentation. Even the way you enter to meet Kylo Ren or to meet Chewbacca is cool, because it's not like they used to have it in that area where you could just see the character the whole time. There was like a grand presentation of the character. So like when we met Chewbacca, when we walked into the room with Chewbacca, still part of the line before he came to us, before he came to our group, I was first person line, he's just sitting there on a computer kind of messing around with things and working, then kind of realizes, oh, there's people here. And it was a very cool experience at the launch bay. And also, and it may be that I'm not a germaphobe, but...
Yes, you are.
Well, I'm not like, I am not extreme germaphobe, but my son has happened to often get sick whenever we're at Walt Disney World, and I can't help that. Now, he's just as much of a culprit as any other kid, touching and licking and grabbing and doing things and not necessarily as most sanitary ideas in those games kind of lend... to that. So, like, I love the Winnie the Pooh line. I like the Haunted Mansion line added. But like even the poo run is like, it's awesome. The games you can play are great.
When your son touches poo for 45 minutes in the line, he's bound to get sick.
It's not good. And it's usually like a the games are really awesome. They built the poo. Even some of them you can do without touching. Most of them, though, you have to touch. Haunted Mansion, the same thing. A lot of stuff you interact, but you have to kind of to touch a decent amount of the one when you do that sort of alternate line at the Haunted Mansion through the graveyard. So that's why I like the Star Wars launch bay. It's a totally random one. Obviously, Star Tours is great too, just because there's so much visuals around you. But I like the launch bay because you can interact a little bit with it without having to get your fingers dirty. That's how I feel, and that's my thoughts. I probably went with the lamest one of all of these, but I like it, and I'm sticking to it.
I think actually what we should do now, we should get some input from the person who posed the question.
Right. Let's see if we can call him and actually, he said he may or may not, he's working, so he may or may not pick up. But if he doesn't, we'll play his voicemail and we'll leave a voicemail for him.
Right.
All right. You want his number?
Yep.
I'm just going to show it to you. Probably not good to put it on the air. Oh, Sean, come on.
I'll leave a voice message.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. Is not available.
Da 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 da. Hello, Sean. It's us from WDW Today calling to see if you wanted to be on our show. Hey!
Hey, Sean. It's Logan, Terry, and Will.
Yeah.
Thanks for suggesting such an awesome topic. Sorry you can't be on the show. You asked me to plug your podcast if you could, and I'll just do it even though you're not. It's WDW Navigators. That's thanks to Sean, so we'll plug that for you. All right, Sean, sorry you lose. Goodbye.
But you did win an excellent voicemail.
Yes. All right. That'll do it for this segment. On to listener questions with Lynn. All right, we're going to take a quick break here and talk to you about ourselves.
Once again.
Like to do. You heard about De Los Puertos coming up. It's going to be a rocking good time, but we also have other things that we do. You know, this isn't just we don't just work one day a week here at WDW Today. We got a lot of other things going on in the Laugh-O-Gram family of stars.
That's another Playtone Records reference there.
The Laugh-O-Gram family of stars, which includes other podcasts hosted by myself, Terry, and Will. And if you've heard the last few episodes, you can just skip this ad then. So I'm going to start because I usually ended up last time. And I think people are not as much. Many people are listening because I'm last. They're just skipping at that point.
Right.
So that's exactly what it is. I have a show called Scare Zone, Halloween Horror Nights podcast. We do the history, information, news, and commentary on Universal's Halloween Horror Nights. We're about to do this week inside the Scarecters studio with Mr. Ross McCoy. And you should take a listen to that. We've also had the creators of Halloween Horror Nights and so many great people. A lot of them are Disney Imagineers. It's not a scary show. It's a show you're going to enjoy. So take a listen. ScareZone.com or search for ScareZone on iTunes, Stitcher, or however you get podcasts.
I have a podcast called the Making Elephants Fly podcast. It's where I sit down with other leaders and creatives and talk about the things that they're doing. And in the past, you've had some Disney Imagineers. We've had an entire episode of Logan,
yeah,
which I think is episode number
two. I think. I'm episode two.
You will always be number two.
Number two.
You can go to terryweaver.com/podcast and you can subscribe there. We appreciate all of the support that we've gotten from the WDW Today listeners for other podcasts. Just love to see you guys and hear from you. And we appreciate you supporting the other work that we do.
My podcast that I do with my co-host, The Grease, is called The Podcask, C-A-S-K. And it's a play on words, if you didn't catch that. It's just two good old boys that don't know too much about whiskey and bourbon, but like whiskey and bourbon, learning more about whiskey and bourbon. So if you enjoy whiskey and bourbon, like we do, it's a good way to kind of go along a journey with us, trying to learn more about it and enjoy it. And maybe if you don't like whiskey and bourbon, you can join in.
I don't know, not like a super fan of whiskey and bourbon, and I really enjoy the show. So take a listen to that at
WhiskeyPodcask.com, P-O-D-C-A-S-K. You can find the iTunes link, the Stitcher link, Google Play link.
Wherever podcasts are sold.
That's right, for free.
All right, now on to LQs with L. That sounds super pretentious.
Lynn questions with listeners.
It's time for Listener Questions with Lynn.
All right, it's time. It's time for Listener Questions with Lynn. We talked about it last week, and I just want to re-encourage everyone to use our Facebook, use our Twitter when you have questions, listener questions, especially when we put out the call for them. When we don't put out the call, sometimes it gets a little hard. They get a little lost. Hard for us to keep track of all of them. But we put out that call whenever we record with Lynn, and we take as many as we can. So, you know, follow us on Facebook. It's WDW Today. You know, look it up. You'll find it. And Twitter, WDW Today Podcast, and you'll find us there. Let's get going.
I'll take the first one. We've got a question from David Covillo.
Covillo.
Odds of getting an ADR for 8 at Beaches and Cream inside of 90 days.
Lynn.
Pretty low.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, probably under 10%.
Yeah. I would say here's the deal. I am very last minute traveler, and there are very few restaurants I can't get in with my kids. If I'm like paying really close attention, trying multiple times a trip, looking at cancellations, and I'm talking about, you know, Chef Mickey's at 5 o'clock in the evening, 5:45. You know, I've gotten great reservations because people cancel, stuff opens up. Ohana, same kind of thing. La Cellier, maybe a little less, but still typically something. Beaches and Cream, nearly impossible. I've not been able to actually go since it switched to ADRs.
Years.
Yeah,
it's like trying to get a reservation at a phone booth.
I mean, that thing is so small.
Right. Lynn, have you ever actually made a reservation for a phone booth?
Who are you saying? The size.
Oh, the size.
Have you been to Beaches and Cream before? Okay, it's tiny.
Yeah,
it's tiny. All right, got it. It's small. And it's unfortunate that they actually don't do the walk-up stuff anymore because I feel like that kind of – there's some spontaneity to that restaurant.
Can you not walk up there at all?
I mean, you can, I guess, theoretically, but you're not getting in. I mean, I've never had that – I've never even tried it recently because it's always just been nuts. 11 o'clock. I actually did get one offer to go to Beaches and Cream. It was like 11 o'clock at night. Or like 10:30, which are the kids. Great. That's really what I want them to do. Give them a kitchen sink at 10 o'clock at night. It's going to be great. Nothing can go wrong.
That kitchen sink grosses me out. I'm going on record. I never want to partake in that.
All right.
They do have them in the parks now. They're doing like the mini kitchen sink.
Challenge accepted.
I'm not a big ice cream sundae fan in general. So the like... It just seems so like gluttonous. Like,
Well, you by the time you get
there,
it's like
I know it's for like 40 people, but it's like,
well, I mean, I've done it before.
Just you?
No, I've done it before.
I've done it before.
No, with four, not just with me.
All right.
All right. So there you go. Sorry.
Are you still with us?
Yeah. All right. All right. So this one is coming in. I'll take the next question because why not? Ann Marriott. I have a reservation for Grand Floridian from October 10th through the 14th. Crowd calendars are showing moderate to higher crowds. However, when I tried the following week, most of the deluxes were booked. Is October just becoming more busy in general?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is.
Yes. With all of the holidays, with Halloween becoming more popular in these situations, it's kind of like what we said before. You know, we did see maybe, I guess technically, Disney put out there's a decline in park attendance this last quarter, but in general... The slow times are no longer what you remember them from the past, I feel like.
I mean, October is also a very popular time for fall breaks, potentially at schools in the Southeast, which used to not even be a thing. And so a lot of, you know, I know there's been discussion even in our local school board of, you know, taking an entire week off, like a spring break week for fall break. So, you know, you're starting to. I think they get like 3 days off, but it's not. So you're seeing people go down for a long weekend and then take an extra 2 days off school. So to get, you know.
Yeah, any other thoughts on that, Lynn, when it comes down to it? Is it just that issue of October is becoming busy? They're adding more special events in October, and they do that during the months that were traditionally slower.
Yeah, I mean, they're also sending out PIN codes and special offers, being very, very targeted about these sorts of things. Also, you know, for things like free dining.
Yep.
Things like De Las Puertas Festival,
they're sending things like that.
People trying to get people
to September 30th, though, so we're in the September window.
True.
There's the plug.
True. Maybe she should check the week before.
maybe like 11 days before.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Terry, take it away.
Our good friend Brandon Rice asks, what is your favorite thrill ride at any of the parks and why?
All right. So we actually know Brandon right now is hanging out at Cedar Point. So he has it on his mind. He has thrill rides on his mind. Guys, favorite anyway, I got a favorite thrill ride that pops in your head.
What do you consider thrill?
I think a thrill ride is anything that is maybe aimed at teens and higher.
I do love, and this is throwback to last week, I believe. I love Big Thunder Mountain, and I also love Splash Mountain. I love both the mountains.
Dual Mountain Man. All right, Lynn, Terry, who wants to go? Lynn,
go ahead, Lynn.
You know, I still like Space Mountain.
Yeah.
Every time I go on it, you know, I've memorized the track layout, so I know when the dips are coming, and I still enjoy it. So I still like it. I think it's probably my favorite.
I'm going to go with Expedition Everest is my favorite thrill ride when it comes down to, if we're looking at it from just the thrill perspective, I think
it's a really fun ride.
Close second is Rock and Roller Coaster, but number one to me is definitely Expedition Everest, just because it's
when
got
you go backwards.
Yeah, there's something about
it's mind blowing.
That like G-force like move time. To make you feel almost like you're going upside down, and all the dark ride elements. I think some of the hills and things in those are the most intense in a Disney roller coaster. So I would go with Everest.
I'd have to agree because it's the one ride that I want to just keep going on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I've been on it in the middle of a torrential downpour. And it's the worst water ride ever.
Oh, you're God, I can like imagine.
60 needles. Miles an hour, needles hitting your face.
Yeah, not fun. There was a man, actually, it's worth Googling, named the Yeti Man. Lynn, have you ever seen the Yeti Man?
No, I'm a little concerned right now.
I don't think he...
I'm concerned.
I will be honest, this is not me being like Slifo. I don't know if he's living still. But he did Expedition Everest over 1,000 times the first year it opened. I ran into him multiple times. My wife and I have a picture with him. Disney did like a ceremony when he hit his 1,000th, you know, time on it. He had a Yeti tattoo.
Didn't he ride it every day too?
Every day, like every that. Day. And he'd get off, get right back on.
Yeah,
all day, morning to night. And it would take like an hour for lunch, and then at the end of the day, he made. Let's just say he had a lot of friends that were bartenders and at Disney World, so they could go have a good evening most nights. Nice enough guy, the Yeti Man, but worth finding. It's whenever Everest opened, so it's been 10 years, however long it's been, worth going to find the Yeti Man. I can see Terry's Googling him now.
Yeah, in the Google there.
I just did, yeah.
Like 10 years ago was the last, like...
Yeah, I don't know if the Yeti Man...
2006,
I don't know if the Yeti Man made it.
According to this article, he was 45 in 2006, so that makes him 55.
He did not look 45.
Well, you know, if you climbed Everest every day, you would be aged quickly.
He had like a Popeye look about him. Like, he just looked grizzled.
I am what I am.
Yeah,
that was like the worst Popeye ever.
And he was just like, he was a celebrity, so I'd get a picture of me, oh man, take a picture of Disney doing stuff about me.
He was like a widespread panic.
Man, I got this guy over down at Pop Century. I hang out at the Pop Century bar all the time. That's when that Pop Century bar is pretty cool. All right. Let's take another question then. Is this one for me?
This is for me because I haven't gone yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Michael Primsky. We're going on our first Disney cruise. Can I get your top 5 tips or 5 things you wish you knew before going on your first Disney cruise?
Will hasn't taken a Disney
cruise. We're doing the Western Caribbean, so I get to kick back, relax, and put on some slow jams.
Now, I've never done that itinerary, so maybe you guys who have should.
Western would be...
Mexico.
Yeah.
Maybe we just say on the ship.
My first advice, if you've booked on the Western, rebook and go Eastern. That would be my first tip. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go along with that. So this is on the Fantasy, if they're doing
Western. That's the assumption.
They're on the Fantasy. Yeah, which means they're probably, that itinerary, does that always include the Caymans? Or sometimes.
Grand Cayman, yeah. And Grand Cayman, if it does, then you're, isn't that the one where you tender?
You tender there, yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Time out. Guys, this isn't. We're not talking about Tinder on this show.
Yeah. Family show.
I've been to Grand Cayman twice. Both times, the seas were too rough to get people onto the smaller ship to take them into shore. I've never actually been to Grand Cayman because of the weather.
Well, I'll say a couple things about Grand Cayman. If you're going to Grand Cayman, that's where Tortuga rum is made, and it's my favorite. So I would definitely come home with some Tortuga. My favorite excursion there is the excursion that takes you to hell and to the turtle plantation, which are two, you can hold a sea turtle, and then there's part of the island is called hell. It's a volcanic thing that happened on the island.
Oh, that's where you see the squirrel nut zippers.
Yeah.
The candy or the actual band?
The band.
I wasn't listening. I missed that.
He was talking about going to hell.
Until you said
song, squirrel nut
until
zippers.
Until you said squirrel nut zippers. That's what my attention.
You know the song.
It's all 90s.
In the afterlife,
you will be hell, little too.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. That's the song's called Hell. He's talking about hell. It's growing the zippers.
Yeah,
there you go.
No,
couple of other tips though.
Just general. Let's
answer the question. Okay, let him talk.
So a couple of things. One, you definitely want to try the bars. I know it's strange to hear
Somebody
recommend the bars on a Disney cruise. The bars are the best Let's see. They are extremely well themed, super friendly people, great drinks. Want to spend a lot of time there. The music matches the theming too, which is something you don't find typically on other ships. I would also say to try room service one night. It's a lot of fun. Definitely get to Paulo and or Remy. I like both of them. If you're on the Fantasy, the food is definitely a cut above what you get in the main dining rooms, and the main dining room food isn't bad. Speaking of the dining rooms, if you can, if there's a culinary tour or a kitchen tour,
yes,
offered during your cruise, do the kitchen tour. It is fascinating, usually led by one of the head chefs, and it actually walks you through the inside of the kitchen. The thing that you will realize, two interesting things. One is it is immaculate in there. Number two, they actually have pictures showing what each food dish is supposed to look like before it goes out to guests.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's set up in an assembly line station thing. It's really, really fun. Yeah.
So also, if you played it wrong, you lose your job.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you might have to keep doing it over and over again until you get it done. But those are some good tips. Play the game, see the movies.
Yeah. That's what I was. Yeah. My top five, I'd say my wife and I've done both times. We've done either like a tequila tasting or a scotch or whiskey tasting.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good. The tequila tasting, or actually I think it was a margarita tasting. Or no, it was tequila and margarita tasting.
Margaritas together, yeah.
And it was awesome.
Is that the one that you guys had like four people at? And
it was like four, and they made a lot, and it went wrong.
Logan went to a stage show, but he thought it was a Cirque show.
I went to the stage show that's the little girl and her dad. I guess. Is that what the story is? Let's just say I have very little recollection. It was on the sea. Look, honestly, let's just take that part out. You don't have to take it out. I'm just saying, take that part out mentally. You don't have to worry about that. It was really cool. I really enjoyed it. We met our cruise friends there. And my wife, I think, keeps up with some of them still. So the tastings are really good. I would agree with Paulo or one of those. Do an adult dining if you're an adult. Go see a movie. There is something weird about watching a brand new first run feature film on the sea, especially if it's 3D. Like, there's just something about it.
Perfect Storm, right?
I watched Castaway. It was weird. I don't know why they're playing it in 2007, but no, I watched. We watched Frozen the first time we went, and watched Thor: The Dark World, which that movie is probably kind of say mixed reviews on the sea. Loved it. Thor: The Dark World, great, especially in 3D. I said, see the shows, and we did. And if you could afford it. I've only done it once. We did the cabana on Castaway Key, and it is incredible. It's definitely the elitist part of me, but what's also nice about it is if you have kids, your kids can use the cabana, which is pretty much the adult beach, so you can bring your kids to a more secluded private area. And we had our son who was only one, and they set up a porta crib for him in the cabana. So they'll set that up. So he was in the dark with like a shaded area and his own little porta crib that we could throw him in there and he'd sleep and we could do whatever. And they have, wait service and all this stuff. Top notch, number one. That's my number one recommendation if you are going on one of the Disney cruises.
Yep. And I would say Paulo Brunch if you have days at sea.
Yes.
Champagne Brunch.
The Champagne Brunch is probably my favorite of the Paulo experiences. I love Cove Cafe. It's a quiet little place to get a cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm. If you're an adult, yeah.
Yeah, if you're an adult. And on the Fantasy and the Dream, they have that same coffee midship at I don't know what they call that. There's a little coffee bar. It's like on the third deck.
Baldy Cove. Yeah, now I'm blanking on it.
But it's the same. It's literally the same thing without like the Cove experience. But if you are an adult, since this is an adult show, take advantage of the adult areas, Castaway, on Castaway, the adult beach, the pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
The bars and nightclubs become, that whole area becomes all adult at night. And so.
Yeah, and the adult beach, like Jack Sparrow is still walking on the adult beach. Like there is that extra little element of Disney magic that's still in the adult areas. I think you'll find it's not overwhelming. Yeah, I agree with that. If you're a sports fan, especially if you're a fan, it seems like a sports fan of teams in the Northeast or that area of the world, that fans come out in droves for, whether it's Monday Night Football or something like that. You can watch it either on the smokestacks or you can watch it out in the sports bar. And I wasn't even that big a fan. I'm not even that big a fan of the teams that were going, but I went to one of the nights to watch one of the games and we had a blast, especially if there's a lot of fans. And typically when we went, it was like full of Giants fans, I think, and it was a lot of fun. All right. So that's, I think those are some really good tips.
Shelley wants to know, Mickey's Not So Scary or Halloween Horror Nights for a 30s couple with no kids. Uh-oh.
This is a no-brainer. I'm going to go ahead and jump in. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Okay. Halloween Horror Nights, bar none. If you're a 30s couple with no kids, don't go to Not So Scary.
Here's what I say. You obviously know,
first of all, Logan,
my allegiance.
I will say this. If you don't say this,
I will be completely honest with you right now. I have never been to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, and there's one reason I have not. When I travel in late September to late October, the reason I am going is for Universal's Halloween Horror Nights. I will be going to Not So Scary this year because I have my kids, and I think that that's something that I look forward to experience with them. I've done the Christmas party before, and though the Christmas party was a lot of fun, I felt the same way, which was this will be great with my kids, and my wife and I had a good time. I love Halloween. I love things spooky and creepy. I can't wait to experience it this year. It has not been my go-to because Halloween Horror Nights is my second life. So
Logan's on Second Life.
You can find me at Halloween Horror Nights on Second Life.
You still have that?
I think so, because every time I type in slash film, I sometimes click SL and it Googles already and it comes up Second Life. That's the only reason I know.
Nice.
I have been to Mickey's Not So Scary, actually by myself. I was in town for a business conference.
Tell people that.
No, I'm happy to tell people there. I was there, and it was Magic Kingdom was closing at like 7 because of that.
Sometimes earlier.
It was the only time that I was there that I could get in the Magic Kingdom, and so I went thinking, this is going to be terrible, but the rides will be open. And I had a great time. There was a lot of special things. There was a lot of their dance parties, which I kind of liked the character dance parties. I danced with Mrs. Incredible, and it was a good time.
I wonder how Miss Incredible felt about
that. That is actually something you shouldn't share. Lynn, thoughts at all?
Lynn, how many characters have you been dancing with, lady characters?
By yourself.
Without Laurel.
Not that many. None.
That's zero.
It's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right.
Lynn, what do you think about, I don't know if you've experienced Halloween Horror Nights, but really just thinking 30s couple, no kids, thoughts on Not So Scary?
Yeah, the big thing with Halloween Horror Nights, I mean, my big concern about recommending that is the reputation it has for unruly behavior and people getting drunk. If when the Orlando Police Department actually puts a paddy wagon on site,
I'll put a rebuttal to that once you're done. Go ahead.
then that tells you something. But if you're staying on property at Universal, then I think it's probably a good choice.
Okay, so rebuttal to that: yes, do people get drunk and run around Halloween Horror Nights? Absolutely. The event runs from 7, 8 o'clock till 2 a.m. or 1 a.m., depending on the night. Mm-hmm. There is that element for sure. There's also a level of extreme horror geek. Will half the people be drunk? I would say that's probably a good number to say. You will experience that. But
I have also – I don't think I've ever been and seen people unruly fights or anything. Like
they have a very good
– they. Keep a good control on it.
The reason that they have those situations, and you're right, paddy wagons, or they have security that's very extreme, is because, and we talked about this actually on Scare Zone last week with the characters, they have a very good system of getting those people out quickly without it ruining your experience. What I would suggest with Halloween Horror Nights, if you're going for one night, you have to add in the price for the Express Pass. If not, you will literally see nothing. You will go see maybe two houses because those lines sometimes can get up to 2-3-4 hour lines. And that's not exaggerating. 3 hours is pretty typical. 180 minutes is pretty typical. You'll see towards the mid evening. So buy the Express Pass, whatever you do, if you decide to go to it.
You know what is also really easy to happen in a line that you're waiting for 3 hours where they're selling beer at every turn?
That's also the thing.
Getting accidentally drunk.
That's the
because you don't realize you're waiting 3 hours and you're just like, oh, okay, well, let's get another beer.
There are bars throughout the lines.
I'll have this Jell-O shooter that's in a blood bag and,
Since it is October and when we're talking about this happening, I'll be the first to admit that I have definitely seen people way more out of hand at Food and Wine Festival. I have been on the monorail coming back to ticket and transportation from Epcot and kind of like scared for my safety because not particularly been there when they do there's one weekend where like there's a group of people where thousands of people the Hanson fans thousands of people come, they do t-shirts and drink around the world and they all open to close the whole day and
I think maybe I would say that is a good barometer to maybe how Halloween Horror Nights is, but imagine that's 4 hours where people, a lot of times people pregame for Halloween Horror Nights and go in because they're city walk. if you're up for being scared, and I would say the scare level is not as extreme as you think because there's just so many stinking people, go enjoy it. If you're not up for being scared, really don't go. Also, the Bill and Ted show is the best. So, all right, let's move on. So I'd say the consistency is 3 out of 4 say Halloween Horror Nights, and Lynn's never been, and then Terry says good, not so scary. I can't really say I haven't been not so scary. All right.
You have time to do both.
If you have time to do both, but usually they're on the same nights. That's
see, I would say don't do both. Save your money and go to Halloween Horror Pass. Nights with the Express Pass.
All right, let's move on. I'll take this one. This is from Josh on Twitter. He said, do you guys know what timing will be like for Disney's Animal Kingdom evening events, i.e. what's going to be the time for the night safaris, the tree lighting, the Jungle Book show? Has any of that been set forward? Do we know yet, Lynn? Can we guesstimate?
Yeah, well, you know, it's since they're all evening events and they should take place after dark, it's going to be sometime after sunset. So in June, when the park is open until 11, I don't think you're actually going to have sunset till 8:30 or 9 o'clock. I wouldn't expect those things to happen any time before sunset at all, and you know, probably a few minutes after. The night safari, I mean, they're just going to keep going with the regular safari past dusk. So figure dusk is half an hour before sunset. And that's what's that's probably when they'll switch over the lights for that. So half an hour before sunset to about an hour after sunset is when you start seeing all of these things happen.
All right, great. I think then Lynn answered that for you. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks, Lynn. Thanks, everybody who sent in their questions and sent in their topics. We're going to be taking a lot of these listener-curated topics. And the best way to get your question answered is to just send us a Facebook message, a tweet, interact with us on social media. Like I said, we still have that email address that they had on the other, you know, that they had for the last 10 years or so. But it's bogged down with so much spam. Sometimes it's hard to catch them. But if you tweet us, especially when we put out a call for listener questions, that's the best chance you have of getting your question on the air. Thanks to Will, Terry, and Logan.
Thanks to yourself.
Thanks to me. De Los Partes Festival coming up September 30th. You heard us talking about it at the beginning of the show. We've added the British Invasion. It's going to be a great party. Adult Whip t-shirts are still available at adultwhip.com. And Dead Yeti shirts are coming soon as someone like yourself may send us some awesome artwork. We're still working on it, but we're taking submissions for some artwork for Dead Yeti shirts. So reach out to me through any social media outlet. And of course, the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter, who's going to be joining us at De Los Partes Festival. Their CD release party is coming up next month in June. Make sure to take a listen to them, offkilter.net. And of course, our presenting sponsor, couldn't do it without them, Off to Neverland Travel. Go to neverland.com to book your next vacation. And as Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
Whew, I can barely breathe after this. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
We'll talk to you on the next show if I make it.